Hi, I'm Heather Adams.
And I'm Vala Sparty.
You are listening to Training Age, the podcast where we explore what fitness, health, and training looks like at different stages of your fitness journey. Hey, Val, how's it going?
So wonderful. It's a beautiful spring day. How is it in California?
Gorgeous. Totally gorgeous. We love it. It's the time of year when everything gets super green and we've had tons of rain. And then like all of a sudden, I feel like overnight everything turns brown. So, but for now, it is very, very beautiful. All right. So Val, I know we talked a little bit already. We did our pre-recording, but tell me something good.
Ryan, my husband, his birthday is this weekend. He turns 44. And so we went to celebrate his birthday. We went to Scottsdale last weekend, just him and I, and the kids stayed home with grandma and we had a blast.
It so much fun. You guys look like you were living your best life.
We totally were. The goal was to eat tacos three nights in a row, but Ryan could not hang. After the second night, he was like, I'm tapping out. It's like, I got to go back to regular food. Can't be eating all these tacos.
That is my kind of goal. I love tacos.
Yeah,
it was fun. Well, happy birthday to Ryan.
Yeah, thanks. And so Heather, what about you? What's your something good?
Well, you might appreciate this, actually. I know you will appreciate it. But my something good is chocolate chip cookies. Because I feel like I've really fallen off the wagon as far as being a good homemakery mom, right? I know you don't have to be a good mom and bake to, you know, be a baker to be a good mom. But I haven't done a lot of baking lately. And I had a friend that was, I could tell was having a hard time. And so I was trying to avoid work. And so I made 6 dozen chocolate chip cookies and took her some cookies, took her a book that I had just finished reading that I thought she would love. And then I proceeded to make sure I gave away all the cookies. Like I sent some to my daughter's dance studio. We sent some to my son's teacher. I, of course, ate a cookie because it's amazing and I'm not a sociopath. But my something good was chocolate chip cookies because my kids walked in the door and their little sniffers were in the air and they were just inhaling and it just felt homey and fun and something completely spur of the moment. And I just loved it. It made me really happy. So
you can't go wrong with cookies. I even made like, you know, those bracelets that the little girls like to make. I don't even know what they're called, like stretchy bracelets. So yes. I like to make those bracelets with my nieces when we get together. And I made one that says, I love cookies. So I have a bracelet.
You do. I think you may love cookies more than me.
I might love cookies more than you. It could be true, but what a good thing. And giving cookies to people and the smell of cookies, everything about it is good.
Yes. This particular recipe, I think I have made like thousands of these cookies and they are just like the thing you take. They're easy to make. Everyone loves them. It's just a win-win. So cookies are always something good and you should always leave room in your life for a cookie. Uh-huh. So is this a fitness podcast or what?
Like, give me the cookies. I just am thinking, because when we were in Arizona, there's a Dirty Dough there, which is, it's a Utah company, but apparently they have some of them in Arizona. So a cookie Utah company. And I got a cookies and cream cookie from there. Mm. And Ryan right now, Ryan's in, he's eating in doing a fat loss phase right now. We're going to talk about that with this episode. But so he did not eat any of this cookie. I ate all of it and I loved every single bite. Anyway,
it's fun when your spouse's fat loss phase doesn't align with your own, because then you can just enjoy all the food and it's not as much fun for them though. So you've had plenty of times where it's been opposite, where Ryan's been eating all the food and you have, you know, not eating the cookies. So anyway, but this actually transitions pretty well to what we're talking about today. So Val and I have been talking about, we talked about maintenance before, And that's what we're going to talk about today is maintenance. And I know we've talked about it before. We actually just talked about it in episode 12. We talked about thriving in maintenance. But one of the reasons we wanted to circle back around to this topic again is because there seems to be a lot of misinformation and misconceptions around maintenance, wouldn't you say, Val?
Yeah.
About what that actually is, what level of effort that entails. And we wanted to just kind of touch on some of that today, clear that up for people, maybe give them a fuller picture of what it looks like to thrive in maintenance. And the title of this episode, as you probably already know by now, is Maintenance Requires Effort, right? That it is, we want to thrive in maintenance, but it also, that thriving actually depends on a lot of the effort we put into it. So it's kind of a PS to our previous episode on maintenance. So before we get into that, Val, and you kind of touched on fat loss for a minute, but yeah. Can you tell us some of the common diet phases that and what that entails? We were actually kind of talking about this previous to the podcast, recording the podcast. We were saying, where do some of these phrases come from? Like these feel like new within the last 5 years, these labels we put on different phases of, I don't know, would you say dieting or eating? Probably eating. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like these labels have really cropped up and are very overbearing in social media and with fitness influencers. And so it used to be, you know, you would go into a calorie deficit or you would go into a diet. But then the idea of a diet is essentially just the food that we eat. So it kind of changed from, okay, let's not call it dieting because we're essentially always dieting.
Right. We're always eating.
We're always eating. We're consuming our foods that consist of our diet. But so it's like, okay, if we're going to talk about eating in a calorie deficit, our goal with the calorie deficit, a lot of people would often say like weight loss. So I'm doing weight loss. You know, there was like the Weight Watchers was a big thing. So it was all about this idea of like losing weight. But it's ultimately we want fat loss. So that's why where I believe the term fat loss phase came from. I don't know who coined it, where it came from, the origin story of that, but it's like fat loss. So if we're going to eat in a calorie deficit, the goal ultimately is fat loss, not weight loss, because sometimes we get so strung up on slashing those calories down that we lose a ton of weight. But what we look like at the end of that calorie deficit is just like a skinnier, smaller version of our previous self. We don't see right. that tone. So that's where the term fat loss phase, I believe, comes from. And then there's another phase that used to be really popular. People would say, I'm bulking, or, you know, I'm in this build. And bulk is one of those terms that it just sounds like a free-for-all, where you just go to McDonald's every night and you eat the donuts and you're eating, you know, pints of ice cream or whatever. And so it was like, okay, well, that doesn't sound good. Like nobody intentionally wants to do that to themselves. So let's talk about building or perhaps a surplus. So people will say, you know, if you're going to eat in a little bit more of like a calorie surplus, that's what you can do for like a building phase. And then maintenance. Maintenance is where we live. And again, it's one of those phrases, as with all of these terms, fat loss, surplus, and maintenance, that I feel like, and you too, Heather, like we feel like it's kind of come about just in the last couple of years. It's not something that, you know, 5 years ago, people were really using these terms. And so maintenance is essentially like living. Like you should be living at maintenance. And I was having a discussion with a client a couple days ago, actually. And I said to her, you know, I feel like people need to apply a label to everything. And it's a bit unfortunate because why can't we just live? Like, why do we have to be at maintenance? But if that's the way it has to be, then we're going to apply a label and we're going to call it maintenance. But maintenance is living. That's life.
Yeah. And I think in the previous labels you talked about with fat loss and with a surplus, those labels are helpful because they actually help us to intentionally go into like, oh, I'm not just losing weight, I'm losing fat. Like this is a fat loss phase. Or I'm not just binging, or I'm actually going into a surplus so that I can put on muscle. There's something about the labels that those labels can be helpful because it helps us to clearly define like, okay, in this phase, we are trying to lose fat. In this phase, we're intentionally eating in a surplus to put on muscle. But maintenance seems a little more ambiguous for people. And I think that's why I always tell my clients maintenance can be the hardest phase because it's a little more ambiguous and you have to kind of define what living looks like to you. I think we were talking about this prior to recording that because it's so ambiguous, people tend to go in one direction or another with it. You know, they tend to, and we'll go into that a little bit more, but we're to be successful in maintenance, it does require a level of effort. And so we're going to get into what that actually means. But before we get into that, because I'm such a nerd, a word nerd, I looked up what maintenance actually means, like in the dictionary. What does it mean? Maybe yes. Not as it, and I don't think it was written as defined by fitness, but I think we can apply it to fitness. And so the dictionary says maintenance is cause or enable a condition or state of affairs to continue. Okay, so it's and the one I actually liked the most was to continue or persevere in, carry on or keep up. So I was telling Val, I feel like a better name for maintenance should be the perseverance phase because we do have to take a lot of these healthy habits that hopefully that you have started to apply to your life and just persevere. We have to continue on. We have to keep doing it. It's not an on-off switch. Like it does require effort. It requires us to continue to daily try to employ those healthy habits in our life so we can have a healthy life.
The effort is going to be equal to the amount of time and planning that you want to put forth in maintenance or persevering through life. And I think that while it's really good to apply some parameters, give yourself some rules in your maintenance phase, you're always going to have your habits that you want to rely on. Otherwise, things will go like whoosh and just like be kind of flushed down the toilet. And getting back to the parameter part of things is with maintenance, don't pigeonhole yourself into something that you decided you were going to do or a goal or a habit that you had established a couple years ago. And now here you are in a different season of life and it's not that habit is no longer serving you. And so the whole idea of like pigeonholing, you know, it's just like, well, this is what I did 2 years ago. This is my lifestyle, quote unquote lifestyle. But this is a new season of your life. Maybe now you're having children, or maybe your kids have moved out of the house, or maybe you changed jobs. And so now you have to get up early in the morning to train. Like different things that have served you in maintenance in the past may not serve you in the future. So allowing that flexibility is going to really help you so that you can adjust based on your current life circumstances. And that still requires effort and mindfulness so you can keep moving forward. Because there's going to be times where it's like maybe you have a job where you're on your feet more often. And so what was your maintenance range of calories? You might need more food because you're moving more. But you're afraid to do that because what if I put on weight or whatever, you know, it's just like different times call for different maintenance habits and you've got to have that flexibility.
I think that's a really, really good point to bring up that we can't just set it and forget it and think the thing that worked previously is going to work now, because we may be living a different life, essentially.
Yes.
I remember being, you know, on my big time running days and running 50 miles a week. And then I had a baby, and that baby was a really difficult baby, and that my lifestyle did not support my previous habit of running 50 miles a week. And I remember feeling really, really lost, and like, what, how can I be healthy? And because I can't run 50 miles a week, and my, and I had to change first, you know, what my expectations were for myself, what healthy living looked like, what healthy maintenance looked like at that point in my life. And I had to change some habits and be at peace with that and be realistic about it as well. So, I think that's a really good point to bring up. Val, what would you say? What would you say some of the common myths we see around maintenance are?
I heard this thing the other day about maintenance being abundance. And I don't know if that's a myth that was just maybe that one person had said, or if it's something that maybe a coach out there is saying or something. But I, when I heard that, it was one of those things of like, false. Maintenance is not abundance. What is abundance? A surplus. A surplus is abundance. You're eating more food. Maintenance, again, it still requires effort. I'm going to go back to that phrase. I think it's just absolutely lovely. So it's maintenance. You've got to set some boundaries for yourself. You've got to apply intention with it. It's not this free-flowing abundance of food where you can just eat until you're stuffed every day. That doesn't work in maintenance.
No, and I think we get maybe that phrase. I think sometimes we hear living an abundant life, and I think that you can live an abundant life, but that doesn't, an abundant life comes through being really intentional with your habits and enjoying the fruits of, you know, all of those healthy habits. That doesn't necessarily involve having no parameters, you know, no guidelines, no rules. I was joking with Val. I'm like, there's things we have to do every day to maintain our hygiene, right? Like brushing our teeth and taking a shower. I hope most people are doing that on a daily basis. And if we didn't do that, I wouldn't say I would feel very free and happy, right? Like those habits serve me. They serve my hygiene and bless the people around me as well. So, and so I think sometimes we don't always, we think to live abundantly means to live without any parameters, that we don't have to worry about what we're eating, that we're never, ever uncomfortable. And I think that that doesn't really serve us very well if we feel like with maintenance that it's always about like, just, you know, we can eat whatever, because that's just not the case. It's just not.
And even last night, I was talking in my Instagram stories saying I was thinking about food. I'm like, here I am. I am in maintenance right now. And I was hungry last night, but that didn't mean I should just go to the pantry and start scarfing down whatever treats are in our pantry, because I still am applying intention. I know that if I overeat on my macros, that and I do that consistently, it's not just going to be a one day thing, right? It's consistently. But if I overeat, that could take me out of that maintenance range, and I want to maintain my current physique. Like, that's important to me. So I'm being mindful of the fact that, yeah, I'm going to be hungry. Like, I eat until I'm satisfied, and I realize that throughout the day, in between my meals, I'm going to be hungry, and it is what it is. I can't always just be full, nor would I like being stuffed. Like, being stuffed isn't a fun feeling. So that just like, you know, so it's just one of those things.
There's one thing with being like, I feel a little bit of an edge of hunger, but if you're constantly feeling hungry all day long, then I would argue you're probably under eating. But having an edge of hunger at times is okay. And we were actually sitting around the dinner table last night talking about delayed gratification. And the, you know, we're wanting to do some renovations on our house, and the kids were like, well, why don't we just, you know, why can't we just do it right now? And I said, well, I don't have all the money for that yet. I'm saving. I said, I'll tell you right now that I could go out tomorrow and get all the money I need to do all the things we want to our house and buy the car I want right now. I said, but I'm waiting because I know I will benefit more by just having what, you know, staying within our means, you know, not overspending or overextending myself. Like, this will benefit us in the long run. And so I think sometimes, you know, we think, I thought it, I need to have it right now. And sometimes there's a benefit in just like, okay, I know what my macros are to maintain my weight. And I might feel a little bit hungry right now, but I'm okay because I'm eating within my maintenance range. And that doesn't always mean that I'm like 100% comfortable all the time.
Yes, so doing a good job budgeting. And
yes.
And yeah, I love that. Such a good analogy right there. Heather, what are some other myths that are out there?
Well, it kind of goes along with it, but I think sometimes people think you don't have to track in maintenance. And I do think maybe that might look like for some people. So I have some clients that just, they really like tracking. They like tracking it all down, even in maintenance. They just enjoy it. I don't see it being a harm to their life. Other people maybe don't want to traditionally track all the time, but if you don't measure it, it's not managed. So there has to be a level of tracking in some form or another in maintenance in any phase. So that might look a little bit different. Maybe like fat loss tracking is going to look a little bit different than maintenance tracking. But you still have to pay attention to the amount of food you're eating. Maybe tracking looks like, maybe it is really just like paying attention to your hunger and fullness cues.
Yeah.
Maybe it is just like being really mindful of creating a good, well-balanced plate. Maybe for you, it really, you know, tracking and maintenance is logging everything that you're eating or logging some of the things that you're eating. But it just requires a level of tracking in some form or another.
Yeah. And even for those who don't necessarily want a meal prep, you can still do things by way of tracking when it comes to eating out. And it really comes down to applying intent. So just being mindful and not reactive when it comes to eating. Like, nutrition is such a big part of maintenance. And mm-hmm. It's kind of like the main thing in maintenance, because that's mm-hmm. where it's so easy to, you know, overeat if you don't have those habits reined in with that.
Right. When I'm in maintenance, I still try to limit eating out. I eat out maybe once a week, you know, and I try to make sure I have protein with every meal. I'm hitting my protein. I'm still thinking about how much, I mean, I'm really still doing all of the things I would do in any other phase. I just have maybe a little bit more flexibility, but not as much as you would think. And actually, Val, when we actually talked about this as well, and it came up actually in a live call I had with my Uplift group, my group membership. And one of them said, I'm really glad Val talked about how much food she was eating in maintenance. And they were surprised that it wasn't abundant.
Yes.
And actually, they felt really, it was really interesting. I know you got feedback on this as well. They thought, we keep seeing on social media that people are eating like 2,500 calories, 3,000 calories in maintenance. And why am I only eating like 1,900 to 2,000 calories? And sometimes it's less, depending on the size of person you are as well. And they thought something was wrong with them, that maybe like they didn't have enough muscle mass on their body. They were doing something wrong. And I said, no, that's actually pretty typical. Like, I in maintenance, I mean, I'm a 5'8 person. I'm about 155 pounds. And I, in maintenance, eat around 1,900 to 2,000 calories to maintain my weight. And I have a high level of activity, right? I walk 10,000 steps a day usually. I strength train 4 days a week. I have a lot of muscle mass on my body. That mm-hmm. is my maintenance. It might look different for other people, but I would say, just in my experience working with clients, it's generally on the lower end. It's not on the higher end. And that's a bummer. I get it, because we love cookies. We love eating lots of food. Everyone loves to eat in abundance. But that is just, it's just science, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
it really is just the reality. And it's for those people that can eat more food. I think that's super fantastic. And more power to you, right? And there is a certain level of, I would say maybe like jealousy, where I see that and I'm like, oh man, that would be so cool. And I remember when I first started into lifting weights and hearing how the more muscle you gain, the more food you'll be able to eat. And I was like, sold, I'm sold. How do I get this muscle? So if I get an extra 10 pounds of muscle, like how much more food am I going to be able to eat? You know, like you guys,
You probably got a granola bar's worth with all the muscle.
Yes. not that much, because over the years I know for sure I put on about 10 pounds of muscle, but my maintenance calorie range has not gone from like 1850 calories to like 2400 calories. Like it's not some magical thing where you get a little bit more muscle, but it's not to say you shouldn't strive for building muscle. We all know there's so many benefits to having muscle and strength.
We're not discouraging that. Let that be known. Muscle is a great thing. Yes. And it does, you know, there's ways you can improve your metabolism, but it's not going to be as drastic as you think. And it doesn't always, improving your metabolism doesn't always translate to being able to eat 500, 600, 700 more calories a day.
Yes. It just doesn't. And another big myth, this isn't a maintenance myth, this is a surplus myth. So I'm kind of deviating here. But another big thing is people will often think, and I fell into this thought process too a few years ago, that the higher you can get your calories in like a surplus, the less you'll have to cut when you move into a fat loss phase. Wrong. Like that's not true either. It doesn't matter how high you push your food, because you still have body fat you have to lose. And so it's like, how much over your maintenance range of calories did you eat? Well, that equates to that much more body fat you put on. Anyway, so that's another thing too, of like, if you're just a more conservative and realistic with your expectations around that, you'll find a lot better success and adherence in the long run.
Yeah, I think 100% is having realistic expectations is probably one of the things you can benefit the most from in maintenance, right? Yes. What would you say to people that say you can only maintain your muscle during maintenance?
You can absolutely build muscle during maintenance. There's so many – Chris. So we had Chris on and he talked about how – he was able, he did that paper about building muscle in fat loss. Like it is possible even for trained people, highly trained individuals. And so if there's like studies and research on that, then most definitely you can build muscle at maintenance. There's no reason you have to go into a build in order to put on muscle. If you are intelligent about the process and use intent, I mean, that's probably like the eighth time I've used that word in this recording. But yeah, if you are intentional with what you're doing, you will absolutely be able to put on muscle. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have never actually gone into a build, not on purpose.
Yeah,
I always joke that I've had some unintentional builds where I just have kind of overshot my maintenance. I haven't been as intentional in maintenance and started to kind of put on weight. But I've never really gone into an intentional build. I don't ever really put my clients in intentional builds when it comes to in a surplus, I guess what I should say. I've never been in an intentional surplus, nor do I put my clients in intentional surpluses, because I have seen so many clients put on muscle in maintenance. I've even seen clients put on muscle in fat loss. And so I just feel like it's an unnecessary step. Maybe if you're a physique athlete, maybe you might want to consider that. But for the general population, it's an unnecessary step, I think. That's my opinion.
There's not a lot of benefits. If you weigh the pros and cons, it's kind of a wash. It's like, is it really going to be worth it pushing to add that much more body fat for perhaps that much more muscle, or just stay at maintenance? And then you are just more comfortable, generally speaking, with that while you're building muscle, because you can absolutely do that. Maintenance is a fixed number on the scale. Or maintenance. Yeah, right? We hear this a lot. People come out of fat
loss.
That's
the myth, by the way. That's the myth, is that maintenance is a fixed number on the scale. Val, I know you have thoughts on that.
Well, and it's even like, so what happens is people come out of fat loss and then they want to maintain their lowest number on the scale. And I think more and more people are getting better at realizing, okay, well, I'm eating more food. I'm eating more carbohydrates. Carbohydrates naturally have water molecules attached to them. Like, the logical side of that is helping people to realize, like, okay, there's going to be some weight gain that happens when I am back to maintenance. But trying to assign like a certain number of like that you should weigh, or even a scale weight of range that you should weigh, is like the next trap that I'm seeing people fall into. Cause I think it's good to give yourself an idea of like, okay, we'll probably be like maybe about 5 pounds up from my lowest weight from my fat loss phase. But what if it's more?
Yeah. Like, sometimes it
is. What if it's like 2 or 3 pounds more? Oh my gosh. Or even 5. Like, does that mean you should go into fat loss again?
No. And here's the thing. I've had clients that have just like held so – it is a bummer. I get it. Like, you go into fat loss. You have a successful fat loss phase. You hit numbers on the scale that you haven't hit maybe ever or in a really long time. And it's so exciting. And so it's it's a natural inclination to want to just hang on tight to that low number, because you're like, I did it. It's my gold star. It's my medal. I hit that low number. It's fun. But like you said, the reality of being able to stay at that number. In fact, I actually get concerned when I see clients after I have, you know, they've hit the bottom and we're done with fat loss, and then I increase their calories. And if they're not moving up from that low point a little, I get a little concerned, because I think they must be under eating. They're still not adding in their calories back. And I'll actually address that with them. I'm like, your scale weight is really low. I would expect you would have popped up a little bit. You were eating more carbs, right? So we're going to have a little bit more water retention. You have more food in your digestive tract. That's going to equate to the scale going up a little bit. We will fully, and I tell, you know, you do too. Like, you almost have to prep people for maintenance. It will pop up. Like, you know, I expect probably around 5 pounds, like you said, sometimes a little bit more. And just having that in mind, that is a natural thing, is okay. And one of the things you can look at is to calm your little mind and your fast beating heart, is look at your pictures. Like, look at where your pictures are at. Have they changed much? Look at how your clothes are fitting. Your measurements, that's a huge one. We look at like waist circumference and hips. And if all of those are staying steady, and I've seen clients that have gone up 5, even 10 pounds, and all those metrics stay the same, we're in maintenance, baby. It's like, it's great. You're doing good. You're thriving. You're eating more food. You're performing in the gym. Like, you're not mad at your family all the time. It's a wonderful place to be. Sleeping better.
Yes, and all the things improve.
Yeah. And so it's like getting used to looking at those other data points. And we talk about this a lot, not being reactive, being reflective, not reactive. Like, really, and Val, I think I always talk about you being the unicorn. You're not a very reactive person. Most of us are, though. As a reactive person, I struggle with that, right? Because you just, you know, it can be a little scary when you see the scale climbing up. At what point, Val, would you say though, like, what would you say to somebody that legitimately the scale and the metrics are moving in the wrong direction? Like, when do you know if you're moving out of maintenance?
Yeah. So we're hitting on how the scale is not necessarily a fixed point, and then how your weight in maintenance can come like maybe 5, even 10 pounds up from your lowest weight in fat loss. And that's not necessarily going to be something that happens within the first week or two. So this can be, I just want to clarify that. It's just like, don't expect like a massive weight jump overnight, because if you've done fat loss right, then you will have had periods where you will have refeeds, or maybe perhaps you have higher carb days or whatever. So when your coach takes you back into maintenance, they have this perceived level of your maintenance macros that they start you at and then adjust from there. So this increase in weight usually comes over the course of a few months. Doesn't mean that if it happens to you where after just a couple of weeks, the scale has gone up 5 pounds, that you are like, something's wrong with you. Everybody is different. So this is just like general numbers. Cause I'm sure a lot of you are listening and like, well, they're like, well, how long does it take for the scale to go up 5 pounds? And like, how much, what about 7? Right. So that is just something I wanted to emphasize a little bit there. And then I forgot what you asked me.
Oh, I asked at what point, right? So maybe like, you know, we're in maintenance for 5, 6 months. I don't know. And at what point would you say, oh, like we're trending in the wrong direction? And what should you, you know, like it really is like legitimately like my clothes are fitting tighter. The scale keeps climbing, that my measurements might be increasing. What would you say to somebody that's happening to?
If I'm noticing those type of trends with the client after about 2 or 3 weeks, I'll bring it up and be like, hey, so here's how things are going. And it usually isn't me that brings it up, because we all are our own, you know, our biggest critics. And so we feel uncomfortable if we're starting to feel softer and stuff like that. So it's usually clients that will bring it up, and it's like, okay, so before we move into fat loss, let's just kind of dial things in for a second. I want you to track at your maintenance calories. Just pretend that you are in fat loss calories, but you're tracking. So apply more intent to that and really make sure that you're nailing your steps every day or whatever your cardio goals are. And just kind of going through those, through the like checking the boxes. What are those basic foundational principles that we talk about all the time? And just making sure those are all consistent. Give it a couple weeks there. And then usually like that's all that you need to just kind of rein things in. You don't necessarily have to jump into fat loss. But for some people, it may be one of those things where we've planned, like we've kind of periodized the year and we're like, okay, we're moving into fat loss at this time. And so that's just like the natural next step that we're going to do anyway. So just kind of depends on where they're at in their like long-term periodization of their goals with coaching. Right. How do you approach that?
No, it's the same. I often find for a client, especially, that long-term maintenance is the goal, right? We're looking to build muscle, to maintain. And we start to see things kind of getting up further than maybe they would like, they're comfortable with. Exactly. We just, it's like, hey, let's just get back to all of those boring basics, right? Like maybe you have kind of gotten lax with your steps, you know, there's some factors you kind of want to start to assess, like, well, how's your food intake? Are you getting the amount of food that we talked about that seemed like a reasonable maintenance range for you? How well are you tracking that? You know, maybe we need to really be a little bit more diligent with the tracking. Maybe it's gotten a little too loose. Are you getting your exercise in? What's your daily movement looking like? You know, I was telling Val before we got on that, like, my work life has kind of gotten busy, and I found that my steps had basically cut in half, and I could see that impacting my scale weight. And like there, you know, I was eating at a maintenance level, but my movement had gone way down. So the energy balance was a little off. And so I could see that start to affect some other factors. And so I was like, okay, I need to like increase my steps again, or I need to just make an adjustment somewhere because I'm moving in a direction that I'm not necessarily comfortable with. Like, how's your sleep? How's your stress? Those all impact things like hunger, inflammation. Like, there's all sorts of things that can kind of impact that. So it's just making those assessments, going back to those basics. And if the long-term goal is maintenance, then you can usually just start to dial in those areas, apply a little bit more effort to them, and things start trending back in a direction that probably you're a little more comfortable with, without having to boomerang back into a fat loss phase, which is really tempting. I totally get it. We want things to like happen fast. It's that delayed gratification. We want things to just like, but sometimes that's not going to be the best move. To just go back into fat loss. It perpetuates that yo-yo dieting that is not really helpful for us.
Yes. Couldn't agree more. I love it.
But I think overall, I think what we wanted to take away from this episode was that, just to further define what maintenance is, maybe give you some better ideas of how to be successful in maintenance, how to live abundantly in maintenance, right? And what that actually looks like. And to help you understand that it does still require effort. What I was telling Val, that one of the quotes my father-in-law uses all the time, I'm not exactly sure where it came from, but it says, anything worth doing is worth doing well. And we always say that to my kids and they roll their eyes and they just think it's so annoying, but it is really true. It's like, okay, if you want to live a happy, healthy life, you have to continue to apply healthy principles and healthy habits to that life. And it doesn't shut off when you're in maintenance. It still requires effort. But of course, it's just going to be like anything in life, trial and error, like trying to figure things out, being curious about how that applies to your life and how you can apply it to your life in the healthiest way possible. Your level of maintenance may look different than someone else's, right? Your maintenance effort might be different based on what kind of body you're trying to maintain. But whatever choice you make around that, make sure it's something that's going to give to you and add to your life versus take away from your life. So I guess that would be my parting words.
Closing thoughts. That's
my closing thoughts.
Very, very well said. That's all for this episode of Training Age. If you'd like to learn more about the podcast, find us at trainingage.com or on Instagram at trainingage. If you're interested in working with either Heather or myself, you can find links to our coaching services there as well.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.